The gospel this afternoon gives us two clear statements which tell us what the topic is or what the theme is. First of all, there's St. Luke's introduction to Jesus' parable. He says Jesus addressed this parable to those who were convinced of their own righteousness and despised everyone else. And then, secondly, Jesus' conclusion of the parable: whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and the one who humbles himself will be exalted. So it's very clear what the theme is today. It's humility, especially humility in prayer. It's more important to be humble than to look holy. It's more important to be humble than to say holy words. Now, here's a little warning, just to start out. When we hear that this parable is addressed to those who are convinced of their own righteousness, addressed to those who are proud, those who are arrogant, we might be tempted to say, well, that's not me. This gospel is not for me. That's for those people, those arrogant people, those boastful people. Here's the warning. Whenever we think that the word of God applies to others and not to ourselves, we're wrong. When we're listening to the Word of God, when we're pondering the Word of God, God is speaking to us. He's speaking to us here in this gospel. He's not just speaking to others. Yes, he's speaking to others too, but who knows what they're listening to. We have to listen to the Word. Let it be applied to ourselves. Okay, so here's the parable. At the beginning of the parable, which is about a Pharisee and a tax collector who both go up to the temple to pray, it looks to us like this is going to be a story about a good man and a bad man, and probably a contrast between the two of them. In the minds of Jesus' audience, the Pharisee is obviously a good man. He's a holy man. He deserves to be in the temple praying because he follows all the laws of God. And the tax collector is obviously a sinner. He probably shouldn't even be there in the temple. Now, in fact, we don't really know anything about the man, and we don't know his sins, but being a tax collector implies that he's greedy and he's dishonest. He's a sinner by definition. That's what a tax collector is in the minds of the Jews at that time. Now let's look closely at the prayers of these two men. This parable actually gives us a little glimpse into what God sees, or it allows us to listen in to what God hears when people pray, or when we pray. Usually we have very little sense of what's going on beneath the surface when people are praying, if they're praying at all. We know that when we pray, we sometimes find it difficult to concentrate. We get very easily distracted. Sometimes we say the words without really meaning them very deeply. That's very common. But we don't know what other people are thinking when they're praying. I mean, we're here all together, we're all praying together, and we say prayers in common, including vocal prayers. For example, when we pray the Our Father a little bit later in the Mass, we're all going to say the same words at the same time, Our Father who art in heaven. But we're not all thinking the same thing. We can hear the spoken words of those who are near us, but only God knows what's really going on in the heart. So this parable gives us an insight into what God hears when we pray. First of all, there's the Pharisee, and it says here, he stood up and he spoke this prayer to himself. To himself? Doesn't that sound a little bit strange? Right from the start, he spoke this prayer to himself. No, it doesn't mean that he was simply talking to himself. He was, at least at first, addressing God, because he starts out by saying, O God, I thank you. That's the beginning of his prayer. O God, I thank you. So he's speaking to God, but it says here that he spoke this prayer to himself because this prayer of his is all in reference to himself. Nothing about God. His focus is on himself, on his own greatness, his own holiness, his own achievements. And even when he starts by thanking God, he thanks him that he's not like the rest of humanity. He's convinced that he's better than everyone else because he fasts twice a week and he pays tithes on his whole income. In saying that to God, he's offering proof to God that he's good. As if he has to convince God to bless him or show God why he's deserving of his love. And when he takes his focus off of himself for a moment, this Pharisee, he does not turn to God, but he turns to sinners. And he speaks about the greedy and the dishonest and the adulteress and even the tax collector who's standing behind him. I'm not like them. I'm not like him. That's what this Pharisee says in his prayer. And that's as far as his prayer reaches. Lots of words, but no real effective prayer. One line from today's first reading comes to mind here. The prayer of the lowly pierces the clouds. It does not rest until it reaches its goal. Beautiful description of the prayer of the lowly. Well, the prayer of the Pharisee doesn't pierce any clouds, doesn't go anywhere. Then there's the other man. There's the tax collector, the publican. He stands at a distance, keeps his head bowed. He beats his breast. Even his body language is already a prayer. It's already an indicator of his attitude, his inner spirit. And then the prayer itself, the words that he addresses to God, this prayer is very simple, short and sweet. He acknowledges that he's a sinner. He asks the Lord for mercy. And that's it. He doesn't even bother to say what his sins are. Oh God, be merciful to me, a sinner. O Diyos, mahabag po kayo sa akin na isang makasalanan. Yan lang. Short prayer. Beautiful, humble prayer. In a sense, he doesn't have to say what his sins are because he's repentant. Now, then comes what would be a big surprise to the audience, and maybe even to us, at the end of the parable. The good man ends up bad, and the bad man ends up good. It's a complete reversal of what we would expect. I mean, how can it be that this sinner, this tax collector, goes home with a blessing from God, and this Pharisee, the law-abiding holy man, he goes home empty-handed? How can that be? And then Jesus makes the point. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and the one who humbles himself will be exalted. The Pharisee exalted himself, so he must be humbled for his own good. The tax collector humbled himself, and so he's in the right disposition for God to exalt him, to bless him, to justify him. He's blessed not because he's a sinner, but because he's a repentant sinner. Very simple. It's not easy to follow this, but it's very simple to understand it. No? Let me summarize the lessons here with three simple truths that are at work here. The first truth is God loves us. Mahal tayo ng Diyos. God loves us. And he doesn't love us because we do good things. He doesn't love us because we say good prayers. He loves us because he's a loving God, because he is love. That's the very basic foundation of everything. Before anyone goes to any temple, before anyone comes to Mass, God loves us. Before we do anything, while we're praying, after we do anything, God loves us. He loves us even though we're sinners. He loves us. That's the foundation. See, the error of the Pharisee, and a very common error, we fall into it often enough, the error is to think that we have to do good in order for God to love us. In order to gain love from God or win approval from God. Sure, it's good to fast, it's good to pay tithes, almsgiving, it's good to pray, it's good to come to Mass. But we do those things because God loves us. It's not that God loves us because we do those things. Okay, so that's the first truth, God loves us. Second truth, we are all sinners. We are all sinners. Kasalanan tayo. Lahat tayo, or tayong lahat, how we say it, tayong lahat. gross sinners. Now, we can use some very simple logic here. If God loves us all and we are all sinners, therefore, God loves sinners. God loves sinners. He loves sinners. He hates sin. He hates sin. And he wants us to hate sin, too. But he loves sinners. Since today's Prison Awareness Sunday, I always think of this and talk to prisoners. God loves prisoners. He doesn't love crime. He loves prisoners. And that's what we should do as well. Now, the tax collector's prayer in the temple is based on these two truths, that God loves us and that we're all sinners. God loves us and he admits, and the tax collector admits he's a sinner. If God doesn't love us, well, then why bother going to pray at all? Why even go to the temple if God doesn't love us? And if we're not sinners, well, then we become like the Pharisee, right? Then we're self-righteous and our prayer will have no effect anyway. Okay, God loves us, we're sinners. The third truth is this: if we acknowledge that we are sinners, then we open ourselves to receive God's love for us. That's why the prayer of the tax collector is better than the prayer of the Pharisee. I mean, God hears all prayers, but the prayer of the tax collector is better than the prayer of the Pharisee, because the Pharisee closes the door of his heart to God. And the tax collector opens that door by acknowledging that he's a sinner and asking for mercy. God opens the door is humility. God loves everyone. He doesn't have any favorites. We heard that in the first reading. But those who are humble can receive more from God. So let us take this simple lesson, learn this prayer, and pray it often, this humble prayer of the tax collector, a prayer that every one of us sinners can pray every day. O Diyos, mahabag po kayo sa akin na isang makasalanan. O God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Amen.